ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्याम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमाम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नश्च प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर् उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे विल रीड फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकम् ददामि बुद्धियोगं तम् येन मामुपयन्ति ते। पुट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport: In this word, the Buddha Yogam word is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of Buddha Yoga. Now Buddha Yoga is explained. Buddha Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and Yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in Karma Yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in Jnana Yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in Bhakti Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness with love and devotion, render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to Him. Om Ajnanatimira. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is one of the most important shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, known to be as the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, as the four verses were spoken to Lord Brahma by Lord Krishna when Lord Brahma performed penances to understand his position and his activities after he was born from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and didn't know what to do. These four verses are known as the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, and the very same knowledge which Lord Krishna gave to Arjuna from verses 10.8, 10.9, 10.10 and 10.11 are the four essential instructions given to Arjuna. So, we shall try to see and try to humbly present the understanding which Srila Prabhupada has given in his books as to how one can make progress slowly and progressively but surely on the path of devotional service. So here the word satata is also significant, and Prabhupada translates in word to word as satata yuktana means always engaged. So for any activity to be successful, we have to complete the endeavor. We do not leave the endeavor in middle of nowhere. If you are going to get a degree for the SSC, you have to appear in the KG and you have to steadily progress till the 10th standard. And then you get your first degree, official degree from the state government, right? And then you progress further and further and further, and you are constantly engaged in studies to obtain a result. Similarly, when we are doing any activity, we need to be always in that activity for the complete perfection of that activity. Therefore, as many times people say, you all devotees, you have all the time, you are staying in the temple, you brahmacharis, you are renounced, you don't have any job. Therefore, for you it is possible to practice full-time bhakti. Right? And therefore, we as householders going for a job, having so many family responsibilities, we don't have that privilege. And definitely, therefore, you must have no option but part-time bhakti. Right? Practically, we find that there are part-time diploma courses and there are full-time degree courses. Right? So this conception has come from these courses, these educational institutions which provide part-time and full-time option. Right? So this conception is given from the education, the academia. But in Krishna consciousness, there is no conception such as full-time or part-time. Right? Because there is no degree awarded like part-time Krishna consciousness or part-time Bhakti Yoga course, right? Or part-time Bhagavad Gita course. We will only give you a little, right? So, here, as the perfectional state of a living entity is that he is an eternal loving servant of Krishna. So therefore, a servant is always engaged in service. Not that he is engaged sometime in serving and sometime enjoying the facilities of the master without the sanction of the master, of course. So, we would like to see the glaring example, because as Sanat Kumar Prabhu was mentioning in his Bhagavatam class this morning, that one has to be very determined the progressing on the path of bhakti with knowledge and detachment. And here, he also mentioned that in order to practice bhakti yoga, it's not just knowledge which is sufficient, but you need living guides, living examples. Right? So, therefore, tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna, naso rishir yatra matirna bhinna. And it says that mahajano yena gata sapantha. If one has to follow the conclusive evidences of the Shastras, then one has to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. So we find here, also in the Mahabharata, the glaring example of these Mahajans. The Panch Mahajans, the five Mahajans, who are those? Arjuna, Yudhishthir, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadev. These five Pandavas are the glaring example of devotees who have set the right precedent. So now, we'll try to understand this verse from the life of the Pandavas and then the further dynasty of the Pandavas as this continues. So Prabhupada mentions that this process of connecting with Krishna, yoga, the connection is called Buddhi Yoga, the most intelligent persons. And therefore it is said that Krishna ye bhaje se bada chatur. One who worships Krishna has understood that the goal of worship is Krishna, and now he has to engage in service of Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanamam mam prapadite vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. Bahunam janmanam ante, after many millions of lifetimes, a person comes to know that Krishna is the goal. As all of you are sitting here and you have made out your valuable time, energy, and of course your sweat also, we can feel that in a hot, sunny summer afternoon in the city of Mumbai, very humid, right? Why have you come all the way from your places, right? I can see there are only fans towards the ends, but there is no, I don't mean to discourage the people in the sitting in the middle, but there is arrangement at home, at your place, to be seated comfortably, the kind of temperature that you want, the kind of comforts that you want. But here, you have sacrificed all those comforts. And that is very rare. Because we have all realized that the goal of this human form of life is Krishna. And therefore here, Prabhupada is saying that the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. And the whole sorry thing about it is that people do not know about it. And just when you go out, if you want to go to an unknown place, and you are traveling by vehicle, and at every stop, at every turn, at every lane, you stop and looking for some rickshawala, some vegetable vendor, some grocery shop owner to tell us, where does this road, where does this place, how should one proceed to that place? And therefore Prabhupada says that people do not know this, therefore the association of devotees. Therefore we are coming here, though we know the goal is Krishna, but we need the association of devotees to reach that goal. And therefore there are many people who know the goal is Krishna. India, everyone knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or they know Krishna is Bhagavan. Krishna is one of the most famous personalities, divine personalities. But everyone has got stuck up at some middle level. Someone at Karma Yoga, someone at Jnana Yoga, someone at Ashtanga Yoga. But rarely someone has reached to the level of Bhakti Yoga. And now one has to perfect this process of Bhakti Yoga. So we see in the Pandavas' life that they were completely confident that Krishna is the goal of life, and how their whole life was a living example of constantly applying to the process of devotional service with love. generally we do all our activities, but not with love, not with priti, but with, you know, force or involuntary endeavor. So here we find Prabhupada is saying that the world is designed in such a way that people will come to Krishna. And the whole plan of the Lord is that to give the living entity the intelligence to come back to Him. Right? Like sometimes someone, Shaman Prabhu was mentioning this example, and Brajvasi Prabhu was quoting it. If someone comes to a person, he goes to a person to get some job done, and that person insults him and humiliates and slaps him and sends him away. This person comes back, and if the person goes back again, asking for the same thing from the same person, and again gets slapped and insulted, if he goes on repeatedly doing this again and again, then he's a fool. Prabhupada would say, fool number one. Right? Therefore, here we find that the material world is designed in such a way that we are getting slapped, we are getting kicked, we are getting pushed, getting pulled. So, therefore, one must understand that this world is not a fit place for us souls, individual souls, servants of the Lord. So, the whole plan of the Lord is made in such a way so as to attract the living entities back to Him. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport of the 11th chapter, 33rd shloka, that the cosmic plan is made in such a way that it wants to give everyone a chance to go home back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says that who understands this plan, he is the most intelligent. He is really Buddhi Yogi, because he understands the plan. The other person getting slapped again and again by Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmic miseries, the kleshas, but does not understand the plan of the Lord, is certainly a fool. But one must realize that this is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, and now we need to go home back to Godhead. That is when the real intelligence is awakened. So Prabhupada says that if everyone knows that this is a thing, then why people are not able to understand the plan of the Lord? And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that even the most exhaustive philosophical inquiries of the sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. And therefore Prabhupada says the best policy, like when do we make policy? When we don't come into a proper conclusion, we are stuck up somewhere, we need some guidelines. So Prabhupada is saying, what is the best guideline? The best policy is to always to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. Right? Suppose if you want to get a passport or visa to go to the UK, to go to the US, and if they interrogate and if they keep on, you know, denying, and if you push, no, you have to do it, it won't work. These are authorities and you have to abide by them. And therefore Krishna is saying that one has to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. So in this incident, Bhishma Dev, when he has been shattered by the arrows of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Yudhishthir Maharaj has been brought by Lord Krishna to Bhishma Dev to pacify Yudhishthir Maharaj because of the great massacre that took place, and he was feeling a lot of guilty. So he came and he asked, and this Yudhishthir Maharaj was brought as a crowned king, and Bhishma Dev was so happy to see him. And Bhishma Dev, seeing the Pandavas, what is he remembering about the Pandavas? Does he remember the chivalrousness of Arjuna, the dexterity of Arjuna's archery, the strength of Bhima, the very spotless character of the son of Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj? No. When he's seeing the Pandavas, At first he exclaims, "Alas, how is that these pious and virtuous Pandavas were subjected to great misery and torment?" This is what Bhishma Dev is inquiring and is wondering. But Bhishma Dev is also another Mahajan. Right? It takes one to know one. So one Mahajan can know other Mahajan. Right? It's like code word. Sometimes in spies, agencies, like if there are two spies, the whole world may not know who these two people are. But these two people, wherever they are, they can easily communicate among themselves because they have their own code language and they can understand, even if they are very much disguised. So even if Bhishma Dev is in another disguise, which we will see later, and the Pandavas are in another disguise, right? We see that Bhishma Dev is concluding that what else could be the reason except that it was the plan of the Lord. It was the inevitable time factor, Kala, which imposed these miseries and these difficulties on the Pandavas. And who is in control of the Kala or the time factor? Krishna. Time I am. Kalosmi Bharatarshava. So if time is the culprit, or if time is the imposing factor, then it is Krishna. But then why Krishna? Why Krishna did this? Such a injustice or such injustice happened to his. He is supposed to be Samam Sarva Bhuteshu. And also not only that, but also very much inclined to his devotees. So then, Bhishma Dev is saying that this is the inconceivable plan of the Lord. And even if in the plan of the Lord, he says that everyone has to bear the reactions of time as long as one is in the material world. And Yudhishthir Maharaj must not feel guilty because he never felt that he was done wrong upon, but he always felt that he always committed offenses against others. And even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature. But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for is guided by the bona fide Brahmana and Vaishnavas. So here, this wonderful understanding is given by Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is now recounting the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord was that Krishna wanted to bring all those impious rulers along with their armies together at one place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam svachamyaham paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna did not kill demons in installments. He killed him at one lot. Right? He didn't like one installment, no. As Jarasandha also was bringing his army. Like he didn't want to kill Jarasandha because he knew that there was a lot of installments to be remained. So he finished all of them. He allowed Jarasandha to come again and again. Left him alive. So this is the external plan of the Lord. The feature of the Lord. So, Srila Jiva Goswami also explains very wonderful analogy and very wonderful example to understand how this plan is executed. Now suppose if you want to put up something and with very properly orchestrated, you need to have direction. Just as in a drama or a stage play. So in a stage play, Jiva Goswami mentions that first point, no one is independent. No one thinks, today I feel like not, you know, I don't feel like seeing this dialogue. I feel like laughing in this crying scene. Right? I feel like crying in the laughing scene. No one can say that. So every actor is independent, is not independent entity. And the director has given the roles to be played. So suppose if a man is being stabbed in this drama, and money is being stolen by another person. Right? So both of them do not feel that I have been killed or I have got money. There is neither the loss on the part of the person who has supposedly been killed in the drama. Neither the person who has got that money has got some gain. Even if it is real currency. What will happen? when the scene is closed, these two actors will come behind the curtain. The person who has been stabbed will remove the false knife, right? And that false blood, that maybe some packet of red color or whatever they use, right? And the other person will give the currency and give back to the director. He will not say, okay, I killed, so this is my supari. No, he won't say like that. This is mine. Both of them will come and give it back to the director. So, only an intoxicated, crazy actor will identify with his roles. Yes, I have lost, I have gained. And this is exactly what Krishna is telling to Arjuna. Again, this is a drama. But Arjuna is also playing the role of the confused warrior on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, identifying himself with the body, identifying himself with the family, and identifying himself with the relatives. So here, this analogy goes further and very wonderfully it unfolds. Right? So first point we discussed that he is not independent. He is directed by the director, he has been told. Secondly, no temporary loss or gain in the drama is actual loss or gain. Right? It's of no consequence. The person is completely aloof from it. And the actor does not come in plain clothes. Suppose he travels from plain clothes to the theatrical performance stage. He goes into the green room and dresses himself in a particular costume. Right? So he wears a particular costume which gives him that identity in front of the audience. But the person knows that I am not this costume. Just because he wears a particular kind of costume, which is very wonderful, very attractive, does not get attached to that costume. In fact, people in the green room, when they come back after their performance, they are immediately happy to, you know, come back to their original dress. Right? Similarly, the actor or the person who is playing the part in this drama does not identify himself as being a warrior, as being this body, as being a leader, as being a servant, as being belonging to this caste or that caste, American, Englishman, Indian. As Prabhupada would often emphasize, we are not Americans. We think that because we are born in the land of America, we are not Americans. So thirdly, just because wearing a costume does not mean that you identify with that role, or you are that costume. And fourthly, it does not mean that because he has been playing that part of that actor, whenever he comes out of the drama performance stage, he also acts like that only. He keeps on giving dialogue. Oh, same dialogue. Right? He's supposed to be an angry young man. He's always getting angry. See, this is my role. No. Or suppose he's crying. He's always shedding tears in that role. He does not, again go and put those chemicals to induce tears and keep on weeping continuously. So in this way, Jiva Goswami mentions that the devotees who are playing these parts, they exactly know what is the drama, what is the role, what is the costume. I am not this costume. I do not identify with this role. The profit or gain that comes in that role is not mine. It is all belonging to the director. And fourthly, the devotees have a real life. That means they awake to the real eternal life even within their roles with Krishna. And they see their part in this world from that perspective. Now you may say, okay, that's good. So we may not identify with these roles and we will not associate with loss or gain, victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, heat, cold. Easy to say, right? Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Last 4 weeks or 5 weeks you have been in this AC bhakti, AC hall at this temple, right? And suddenly today is warm and like you feel, no, kuch farak pad raha hai, there is something difference. Last few weeks I was comfortable, right? So immediately that duality is in the mind. I am sweating now. It's hot now. The temperature is rising now. Why the AC is not on? And maybe sometimes questions, sometimes like devotees mentioning Gauranga Prabhu that people asking questions at the end, waiting for one question. When is the lecture going to end? Right? When this heat will go out? When this duality will go away? There are so many dualities going in the mind. So Arjuna has been advised by Krishna because he has fallen into this difficulty of duality.
But Arjuna is playing that part of being in duality and being in illusion extremely perfectly. He is a perfectly confused, is playing the part of being a perfectly confused warrior on the battlefield just to inspire us to read the Bhagavad Gita. So what happened? If the battle was straight out, there was no Bhagavad Gita then. Right? So here we find that these are those confidential associates of the Lord who have been given the role and they know the dialogues extremely well. And they do not leave any effort unturned to play their roles perfectly. Because Arjuna was showing this ignorance of his self-interest by the will of Krishna, but he was showing it in a very perfect manner. And in this way, we find that when the show is over, all the roles are being taken back, all the part is gone, and you are as usual. Similarly, when Arjuna, when he came back for Dwarka, having lost the association of his dearmost friend Krishna, he was defeated by a simple coward infidels. And he could not protect the wives of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that Arjuna was feeling dejected. With his Gandiva bow, he could not do anything. That Gandiva bow, which was killing thousands, which was shooting thousands of torrents of arrows, killing chariot fighters, killing elephant riders, killing horseback riders, killing infantry by the millions. That Gandiva bow could not defeat few coward infidel men. So here Prabhupada mentions that Arjuna was given special powers by the Lord at that time. And when those powers were not required, all those powers were withdrawn back. And therefore Arjuna had to have no remorse that all his powers are gone, because his powers were never his. Therefore a devotee knows exactly that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, and whatever ability that Krishna gives is due to his credit. And here, this is so wonderful. In the life of our founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he acted as a perfect puppet in the hands of the expert puppeteer, Lord Shri Krishna. He mentions in this poem, Jaladuta, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, that, please, I am your puppet, so make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. And this is how the devotees actually closely follow the plan of the Lord. So this is what we discussed about the Buddhi Yoga, is to understand the plan of the Lord and not to have doubts and confusions and illusions about what the truth is. But then one may feel that this Buddhi Yoga seems to be a very arduous task. Right? And Krishna is saying satatam. Constantly. And Prabhupada mentions also in the purport, one of the shlokas, that Prabhupada mentions that these activities of Krishna consciousness have to be carried as if in a military discipline. Right? And discipline, you are always satata. We have one of our students who is enrolled in the army. And it's a real drill. And compare their drill to our process of Krishna consciousness, it is really very, very simple. Because most of the time we say Bhakti Yoga is easy. Right? Bhakti Yoga is easy. And suppose when we keep on doing a particular activity, we always find that within that sphere, we find that it is really very difficult. Because we are just associated with that frame of perspective. But when you see the whole perspective, we find that Bhakti Yoga is actually very simple. There are drills of practically 18 hours in the forest. Trekking mountains, non-stop trekking, non-stop moving on foot, building bridges. So much difficulties without sleep. Right? And here, we have a simple austerity of just rising awake early in the morning. And what is the beautiful forms of Radha Gopinath is what we get to behold. The austerity is simple and blissful. So therefore, the satatam word is extremely important and does appear in the Bhagavad Gita at various places. In fact, Krishna also says in the 18th chapter, Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasa mat paraha buddhi yogad upashritya mat chitta satatam bhava. Again and again, Krishna is saying that it has not to be intermittent devotion service, it has to be
unhindered, undeterred devotional service. And this is the most important thing when we practice Bhakti Yoga. As Vrajvasi Prabhu was explaining in one of the Bhagavatam classes here also, that how the initial phase is Utsamahi. When one person comes and joins Krishna consciousness, he is extremely enthusiastic. But over a period of time, that enthusiasm wanes and becomes monotonous and feel no inspiration. And we are thinking where to go, how to make up this lost enthusiasm that we had in the previous years and the early years of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says the clue is that constant application, satatam. And we find here in the Mahabharata also, as Arjuna was constantly applying himself. In fact, in all those injustices which were made to them, as they were, Bhima was given a poisoned cake, or Duryodhana tried to kill him, there were conspiracy to burn them in the house of lakh, and then there were the gambling match where they were cheated out of their kingdom, and where Draupadi was disrobed in front of the entire Kuru assembly, in front of their husbands. What a disgrace, what an insult. Not only that, they were exiled for 12 years and 13th year in incognito. And when they came back to reclaim few villages to rule, there were peace negotiations, everything failed, and they had to go in for a war. After performing 13 years of austerity. So here we find that Arjuna, before the war begins, goes to Dwarka to solicit the help of the Lord. Now imagine a person who is such a dear friend, and he keeps on seeing injustice made against you by some other person. Not for one time, two times, three times or four times, but practically 13 years of exile, and does not do anything about it, in the sense that trying to alleviate that situation, anyone would become little morose. He does not know. He is not an active friend. He is a passive friend. Right. So here, Arjuna, he is not having that lack of faith. But right away he is going to Krishna, to Dwarka, to solicit his help. And definitely he must feel that because Krishna actually did not help anyways, maybe I should ask something else from the Lord. So therefore, when the choice was given, when Duryodhana also came there, the choice was given that to take the Narayana's Senas, the soldiers of the Narayana army of Lord Shri Krishna, one Akshani division, or to choose Krishna, who will not fight. Again, passive. And most of the times we find, when we are in the midst of great difficulties, we find that Krishna is really passive. Even more passive than he was to the Pandavas. Actually, he went sometimes to meet the Pandavas in the exile time, and when Durvasmani came, and he rescued the Pandavas by giving them, by eating that morsel and thwarting all those difficult situations. But in my case, Krishna does not come to my rescue, especially when I'm in difficult times. And therefore, we find suddenly a lack of enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness, as if that enthusiasm has suddenly been drained out of our practice of so many years. So here, in the life of the Pandavas, Krishna has staged such a drama for all of us to see for eternity to come. That if the Pandavas for 13 years, they did not have any single objection or complaint or any ill feeling towards Krishna for not having alleviated that suffering for 13 years, what right we have to say, Krishna, that why are you being so passive? So here is the example of satatam, always applying, right? And not out of some force, Krishna is, what can I do, right? Somehow that I landed up in this ISKCON society, right? And now I become addicted to prasad a little bit. And what to do? I like this atmosphere, like the people. But I don't have enough faith, because Krishna does not reciprocate with me. So I will just continue. I will just continue as I would just continue as a lifeless robot, just being,
maneuvered. Okay, I have to chant my rounds. See, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Like a robot. Right? And then I will go to temple because I'll just go, you know. And then I'll just have prasadam and just to maintain the status quo. But I don't feel that commitment because I don't feel Krishna's reciprocation. So I will just carry on mechanically. Krishna says, not like that. And there's a price of going on back to Godhead. And Krishna is telling, satatam is itself difficult. Right? Then satat yuktanam, then bhajatam. You have to worship the Lord. But then, priti purvakam. With love. Not with grudge or ill feeling or hopelessness. And therefore, Prabhupada is saying that one has to perform loving, transcendental loving devotional service. You will find his word always in the Bhagavatam, in the purports. One must perform transcendental loving devotional service. Bhajatam priti. Always the priti is accompanying devotional service. But we are trying to awaken that priti by practicing the process of sadhana bhakti. And immediately we find that satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. So there is one more hidden clause which says that the satatam means one should know that the goal is Krishna, but when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly and progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. So Prabhupada is saying clearly that path is not speedily attained. Okay, today I just took up chanting of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and within few years I'll become a pure devotee. Pure devotee syndrome as earlier years of Krishna consciousness, because all the experience of the previous years of Krishna consciousness is helping all of us. Otherwise, we also would have been fallen into that same pure devotee syndrome. And earlier devotees would always feel, they would see Prabhupada, they would see the process of Krishna consciousness, the initial enthusiasm, and they will feel that this is going to go immediately for 5-6 years and we are completely liberated. But Prabhupada is saying here that the path is slowly and progressively traversed, and therefore one needs patience. Ussahat, nishchayat and dhairyat. If there is no patience, everything is spoiled and everything becomes stagnant. So how one must execute the devotional service with patience is also explained so wonderfully. And Prabhupada would often say that I have tricked you all to come to Krishna consciousness. Right? And Prabhupada said that one has to be very patient. Once upon a time in the beginning years, immediately it happened in Krishna consciousness, the formation of the society, a devotee by the name, recently initiated, Ravindra Swarup, he one day just entered, barged into the room where Prabhupada was giving class, and he said, he was so impatient and told Prabhupada, shouted, I want to reach God directly. Right? And he said, without anyone in between. And he was so impatient, Prabhupada tried to calm him. He said, don't be a crazy fellow. I am an old man, Prabhupada said. I can die at any moment. Just imagine, Prabhupada is telling him, I am an old man, I can die at any moment. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is told that, Trinadapi Sunishana, just be humble and tolerant. And this way you will get your desired goal. And Prabhupada said that, therefore execute this process with enthusiasm and patience. And push on this moment. And this person is saying that I want to reach God directly and want to leave. Prabhupada said, push on this moment. Right? At least if he tells him to push on the moment, at least he will stay. If he does not push us. Right? So Prabhupada is saying that, and this person just left. Sheer impatience. Immediate results. That's what we have been trained, the whole philosophy of the modern world. And therefore Prabhupada says in the wonderful purports of the Bhagavad Gita, these are so cohesive, these are so wonderful, these are so interlinked, that the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is a delay. I mean, Prabhupada exactly diagnoses our problem. And he writes and is immortalized his instructions, his words, his diagnosis in the Bhakti Vedanta purports. And Prabhupada says that not becoming discouraged if there is a delay. And this is a very
golden statement. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Like, very inspiring. One of the places where I was just giving a class, and I was just inspired by this. And this students wrote on their wrote on their wall with pencil this statement. It is still there in that room 5 years later. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Prabhupada's purports are so enlivening and hope-giving. And Prabhupada therefore also gives references of enthusiasm and patience. Where Dhruva Maharaj executed austerities for 6 months. With patience, with austerity, closely following the orders of Narad Muni. And Prabhupada says again, Dhruva Maharaj attained his perfection not by acting hastily, but by patiently executing the order of his spiritual master. Right. 6 months. Dhruva Maharaj got him in 6 months. What about us? Of course, we are talking about the principle that one must execute with that faith, with that patience, with that great determination. And we can always compare with Dhruva Maharaj, you know, how much we have that steady patience. Also, when the demigods and the demons were churning the nectar, right? And everyone was expecting nectar to come first. But what came out was poison. So people felt, you know, we have entered the wrong ocean. We are churning the wrong ocean. Wrong address. The connection is faulty. So, immediately Lord Vishnu appeared and said, don't worry. Nectar is there. Here only. But continue patiently with the churning. Right? And the nectar was the last thing to come. Right? Anyway, if the nectar was to come, the nectar was given by Lord Vishnu to the demigods. They did not take it themselves. Right? So we have to see that only when Krishna is pleased by our efforts, then Krishna will reciprocate, and by his causeless reciprocation is that when we experience the perfection of life. Therefore, one has to steadily, patiently practice Krishna consciousness, always hoping for the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And here, also, we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling to Raghunath Das Goswami that Sirahana gare yao nahao vatula krame krame paya loka bhava sindukula. That one may be very eager to cross this ocean tomorrow. Whatever is required, Prabhuji, tell us what service to do, what time, every day Mangal Arati and everything else I'll be doing. How much time will I take to go back to Godhead? Please enter your computer calculation and say now. This much data, okay, I did for so many. How many years will it take? Projection. Can you give some projection? So, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to join immediately the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying him, one may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. Right? Like the Ravindra Swarup. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. And Prabhupada says also that one must patiently hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastya Bhadrani Vidunoti Surasatam. The process of cleansing is going on, and Prabhupada immediately mentioned this emphatic statement for all of us to remember in the core of our hearts. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. Yes, the application is difficult. So we are climbing the mountain, and we are going very high now, and it is becoming more and more steep. Now, definitely you will feel that I'm going to fall. It's becoming more steep, the oxygen is becoming lesser and lesser. And therefore, Prabhupada says very nicely that Bhajatam Priti Purvakam and Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Right? Do not think, satata yuktanam, bhajatam, priti purvakam. What else, Prabhuji? What else? So much conditions. How will I survive? Satata yuktanam, bhajatam, then priti purvakam. So many clauses. Right? So very difficult. And therefore, the example is so nicely explained. Prabhupada explains that in the typical village system, there would be marriage of young boys and girls would be conducted very early, when the girl was maybe 6-7 years old, 7-8 years old, right? But they were the girl would not go to the house of her husband. The husband would stay alone, the wife would stay alone, right? And this girl would be always trained to prepare, right, nice dishes to be cooked for the boy. And she will cook with love and affection, and she will go and she will feed her husband. That was the only contact, prasadam distribution. That's how we become devotees, right? Someone just keeps 6-7 years, just prasadam. No philosophy, makes sense. No commitment comes, never mind. Prasadam will definitely act, right? It's a sure shot formula. One has to have patience even in preaching, right? That, come on, we are feeding him prasadam for 6-7 years. He is not even chanting 16 rounds. What is the problem? There is some problem with the prasadam? Maybe you forgot to add the ingredient of love. It's not working. But suddenly, on the 7th, after the 7th year, the first month, the first day, immediately turns into temple and says, Prabhuji, tell me, I'm seriously want to practice bhakti yoga. I will come and do your service all the time, and I'm ready to enthusiastically practice. And we are wondering, you know, what suddenly happened? The prasad was doing the undercurrent job. Was working inside, insidious way, right? And therefore, this girl is trained to serve her husband. And just by serving her husband at a distance, which having no reciprocation, the husband is not reciprocating because they are staying aloof from each other. Slowly and slowly, the girl develops affection for her husband. And at a proper time, when the age of puberty comes, then she is allowed to stay with her husband. And when the girl goes to the husband's house, then they never separate, Prabhupada mentions. Because 6-7 years were the strong bonding of love and affection by service. So if ordinary mundane relationship required so much of loving affection without reciprocation, he can always expect and try to introspect how much loving affection and how much time we have given to serve the Lord. Right? And this is so important in Krishna consciousness. And finally, Krishna says, so I will give you a breath of relief. Dadami buddhi yogam. You have given me so much, but don't worry. I will also give from my side, like provident fund. Your money is being taken by the company, but the company also adds. Only at the end you realize, oh come on, this is a huge saving. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is also depositing from his side. Right? He deposits, seeing your sincerity and endeavor. But for devotees, in fact, Bhishmadeva explains that Krishna is the Satvata. He is the leader of the devotees. And for a devotee, he gives this Buddhi Yogam. Because the devotee wants it. He is eager for it. But what does he do for the non-devotees? He is a witness. He is a silent witness. And Prabhupada says, he never gives instructions to the non-devotees. Even if they are really eager for it, in the sense that they want some other material help from the Lord. But these people will never get instruction to go home back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says, therefore, that Krishna is the leader of his devotees because he guides them by Dadami Buddhi Yogam. So now here, we also see, time to time, Krishna, in the case of Arjuna, how Arjuna, because of his constant devotional service with loving love and devotion, inspired reciprocation from Krishna's side. Time and again on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as Bhishma also had to be killed, had to be vanquished, Arjuna was not having that courageous heart to kill Bhishma. It was Krishna who inspired, who literally forced Arjuna, right? Literally forced Arjuna to come out and express his unreserved loving devotion
still that installment he held, that mundane attachment, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, but still a trace of attachment was there for Bhishma. And he did not want to kill Bhishma. And Krishna, what he does? To evoke and to dissipate the traces of attachment and to evoke complete loving affection for the Lord, Krishna takes the Sudarshan Chakra and rushes at Bhishma Dev to kill Bhishma. This is a wonderful event. And Bhishma Dev is recollecting this event when he is remembering the Lord at the time of, when he is seeing the Lord at the time of his departure. And this is another plan of the Lord. In one plan, there are so many plans. Therefore, it is difficult to understand which plan is which plan. It's like plan within the plan within the plan. Which plan exactly that is, you know. So sometimes Krishna does plan for the living entities, but then some plan is for Krishna's own personal reciprocation with his devotees, right? So we should not feel that only, Krishna is only for the conditioned souls, but when I become devotee, no one takes care of me. When I was a new devotee, everyone was Prabhuji, phone calling by phone, nice prasadam, maha prasadam, time to time, you know, and all those courtesies were given as you knew. But when I come to the Sunday feast after 6 years, you know, no one usually greets me that way, you know, and no one gives me Mahaprasadam time to time, you know. And no one expects, you know, I'm here. Prabhuji, I'm here for the Sunday feast. You have to recognize me. But then, that what's happened. So, sometimes we feel that, is Krishna only for the newcomers? Every time, newcomers, please stand up. Right? After, please rise above your seats. Right? We so graciously announce and we welcome these newcomers to the Sunday feast. And we find 6 years, no one has asked me, you know, after a long time. Maybe they should also say that after 6 years, who has come to the Sunday feast, please rise up. So that's what we feel sometimes, that yes, Krishna is only for the newcomers. What about that, those golden days, you know, we had so much Mahaprasadam was given. And when we used to have earlier days, so intimate loving relationship with devotees. So intimately they were exchanging, so 5-6 hours at a time at a stretch. Now hardly 5 minutes and everyone is rushing here and there and, you know, no one is so reciprocating. Therefore Krishna is saying, no, it's not showing that partiality. In fact, Krishna is wanting to reciprocate with Bhishma Dev's transcendental rasa of virya rasa. Bhishma Dev wanted to see Krishna fight him. And therefore, Krishna had to break his vow to please Bhishma Dev. At the same time, he protected Arjuna. Right? And this purpose, this transcendental loving relationship between the Lord and the devotees is extremely pleasurable and extremely inconceivable at how the Lord acts. So therefore, Krishna breaking his vow to kill Bhishma and protecting Arjuna is also, and evoking Arjuna's courage to kill Bhishma is another example of Krishna, or Krishna reciprocating and giving intelligence to Arjuna. Again, what to speak of the enemies? This time Duryodhan was against Arjuna. How? On the when Karna was the commander in chief of the Kaurava armies, it was Karna who was routing the Pandava army. And in fact, he confronted Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was badly defeated on a battlefield, was about to lose his life, but his charioteer chased away the chariot from that scene, and Yudhishthira was saved. And Arjuna was fighting, was trying to thwart away the Kaurava army attack, and he was concerned about Yudhishthira Maharaj's well-being. And he came to the tent when Yudhishthira was lying injured. Yudhishthira was a little angry because of he had never been humiliated such worsely in the battlefield like Karna humiliating him. So Yudhishthira was a little angry, and he saw Arjuna coming in his tent, saying that, Arjuna, what are you doing? Have you killed Karna that you have come to give this happy news to me? Arjuna says, that's what I was supposed to do actually. But I saw that he was literally rooting out you. So I came to see you, whether your well-being is okay. And Yudhishthira became very angry and said that, I thought you would have come here only after defeating Karna. Where was your vow to kill Karna?
at the time of the gambling match that you have vowed that you will kill Karna, and therefore you have not fulfilled your vow. Therefore, you must immediately give up your Gandiva bow. This is of no use. Give it to some other warriors. They will kill with this Gandiva bow. You give up this bow. And suddenly Arjuna becomes flaring with rage. He said, I will kill Yudhishthir. And Krishna is saying, what happened? I mean, you are supposed to kill Karna, not Yudhishthir. Maybe you made an error in speaking, you know. Maybe you want to kill Karna, but you are angry. So therefore you forgot. So no, Krishna had made a secret vow. That anyone who tells me to give up my Gandiva bow, I will immediately finish him. So, this is a Kshatriya's vow. He cannot take it back. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is already injured. He cannot fight anymore. Even if Arjuna is, you know, there could not be a battle. There is no way. This is one-sided war in one sense. So Arjuna would have finished Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Arjuna was just in some, you know, in that flare, in that rage, he forgot again. Right? That the goal of the battlefield was not to kill each other, but was to kill the Kauravas. So Krishna is telling that, again, Krishna is giving right intelligence at the right time with a nice story. Right? Stories are easily digestible. Right? Philosophy, if it comes, I may believe it or not believe it. But story, okay. I may think. So immediately Krishna, I remember a story about morality and vow taking. There was a great sage named Kaushika who had vowed to always speak the truth, whatever may come by. And once upon a time there were innocent people who were being chased by dacoits. And they somehow or the other chased these people in the forest, and they came close to this Kaushika Muni's ashram, and they went from that way. So the dacoits came and asked Kaushika Muni, have you seen some people going from here? Kaushika Muni knew that these are dacoits and those are the innocent people. But he remembered, you know, I had to speak the truth. So he spoke, yes, this side, can go and kill them. So Krishna says, it was not wise on the part of Kaushika Muni to speak the truth at that time. Because a higher principle was activated in that situation, which was about morality. And therefore, in this sense, Arjuna, I think so, you should reconsider your decision. So, even if you want to kill Yudhishthira Maharaj, you blaspheming him with insulting words. For a Kshatriya, words of insult are even worse than death. And Yudhishthira Maharaj will tolerate because he is Dharmaraj, he is the son of Yamaraj, Dharmaraj, Dharma personified. And then Arjuna was guided by Krishna to speak insulting words. And just everything was resolved. Conflict resolution. Krishna is a perfect mediator. So this is fine. Time and again, Krishna is imploring Arjuna to give the right intelligence. Karna has come in front of Arjuna. Arjuna is in his fit of rage, wanting to kill Karna. But Karna is also very superior archer. Time and again, there is a war in such a way that the great demigods, the Gandharvas, the Kinnaras, the Apsaras, they all are seeing the match with great amazement. It was the final. It was the final, right, of this 18-day tournament, the war of at Kurukshetra. So here, at that time when Karna had to lose his memory because he was cursed by the Brahmana, to lose his memory at the time when he needed the most. So he was trying to invoke the weapon, the very lethal weapon to kill Arjuna, but he was not able to remember the mantras, and the earth was completely devouring the chariot of Karna. Karna was fighting with Arjuna at the same time, and he shot arrows, he shot arrows towards Krishna. And of course Krishna was not affected, but then he tried to bring up the chariot, and Krishna is telling Arjuna, you must kill Karna now. Karna is saying that, oh Arjuna, I am not on my chariot now, and therefore you must consider the Kshatriya conduct. So please desist from shooting arrows at this stage till I remove the chariot from the earth. Krishna is telling Arjuna, he is telling Karna, Karna, where was your virtue when you were in that assembly insulting Draupadi? Where were your virtues when you saw the Pandavas being cheated by that vicious Shakuni? Where was your virtue when you actually saw all of this injustice made by Duryodhan, but you still continued to be his loyal friend? So where, which virtue are you asking now to have in reciprocation? Therefore, Arjuna, kill Karna. Arjuna thought, I would have killed Karna in ordinary battle. But Karna was invincible by Arjuna also. And unless Krishna had directed Arjuna to kill Karna when he was on foot, it would have been impossible. So many instances at every point of time. In fact, this Bhagadatta was a very powerful warrior. And he was rooting. You had an elephant, a powerful elephant, and he was smashing the soldiers by millions and was destroying. And this Bhagadatta came in front of Arjuna. And as this Bhagadatta also released a very superior weapon, immediately Krishna stood up and took the force of that arrow on him. Arjuna is telling Krishna, why did you interfere again? You told no, you will not participate in the war. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, you thought you would have done better by countering that arrow. I know what that arrow was. This arrow was given by Mahavishnu, my own incarnation. I am telling you because I know the whole scene. Right? I know the whole history. You are thinking as you can fight. But this weapon was given by me to Bhumi Devi, and Bhumi Devi gave it to Narakasur. And when Narakasur died, he gave it to this Bhagadatta. And this weapon is called as Vaishnava weapon, to kill Vaishnava. Right? Therefore, only I can counteract it. So we find that Krishna was constantly guiding the Pandavas. And that's why is Queen Kunti saying, Vipada Santu Ta Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yasyad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Because in every calamity, there is more opportunity to remember Krishna. There is more chance to serve Krishna. There is more opportunity to develop loving affection to Krishna. Unless there is a calamity, how can we experience that need of Krishna's reciprocation? And when the reciprocations do come, how much grateful and how much indebted we feel towards the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So here is what we realize in this various sections of the Mahabharata and the lives of the Pandavas. So the Pandavas did not leave their heritage just abandoned, but they left their heritage of complete dedication, determination and transcendental loving service to their grandson, Parikshit Maharaj. And this is what we find is the epitome of the compilations of Srila Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata in which Bhagavad Gita was there. But because he was feeling, even after compiling all these great works, he was feeling so despondent. I am lacking something. And at that very moment, right, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Narad Muni comes. Narad Muni is the Vaya agent, is the chief agent for Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Right? He carries a lot. And whenever there is any deficiency, immediately he is going to that place. Srila Vyasadeva is being requested by Narad Muni to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the reciprocation of the Lord with Parikshit Maharaj through his representative Srila Shukdev Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj again is another character in the drama of the Supreme Lord. He is the main character. There are not many characters in this drama. There is Parikshit Maharaj, there is a sage named as Samik Rishi, and there is his son named as Sringi. These three players, they have set the scene in such a way that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by that Brahmana boy to die in 7 days. And here we find that Parikshit Maharaj is exemplifying the great satatam yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. 7 days he was about to die, there was no fear. There was only anticipation of Krishna's mercy being reciprocated by Shukdev Goswami. And just to recapitulate in short, we find that here also, when Parikshit Maharaj is about to conclude his life, the last 7 days of his life, and he has completely renounced the kingdom and is sat firmly at the bank of the Ganges to find out what his next occupation would be. And immediately, the reciprocation of the Lord comes in the form of the great sages and demigods. Because when a great devotee is leaving the world, everyone, all the great souls are wanting to witness that great event. And all these devotees are coming to encourage Parikshit Maharaj. Yes, Parikshit Maharaj, we are with you. We are with you till last, till the last breath, to help you remember the Lord. And therefore, taking the shelter of the holy places and taking the shelter of the association of devotees. At the shelter of the holy banks of the Yamuna, Prabhupada says that devotees take shelter of the holy places because these holy places allow you the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And the eagerness exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj allows him to have the blessings of so many great souls. As all those great souls are coming, he is humbly bowing to all of them, requesting their blessings. Prabhupada says, this humble attitude is important in order to be excused. And Prabhupada mentioned that even a first grade offender is excused simply by this process of bowing down with humility. Right? Therefore we find here Jagai and Madhai, they are simply bowing down in humility to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even if they were the offenders of the first grade, Prabhupada says, they were excused. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, these wonderful purports are simply again drawing out, are simply depicting the life of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentions that generally at the last stage of one's life, this humble method is adopted by every sensible man in order to be excused before departure. We find in life of Srila Prabhupada, when he was about to leave his body in Vrindavan, he was praying that to all his god brothers that please forgive me all my offenses that I may committed in the course of preaching this Krishna consciousness. I may have committed several offenses. So please forgive her. And all his god brothers said, Prabhupada, you never actually committed any offenses. But this was the mood. Prabhupada is speaking. Prabhupada has spoken, has written these purports, right? Way back in 1960s, 65. Before leaving, the first cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we find that Prabhupada is walking his talk. When he is mentioning this, he is exactly depicting him this at the last stage of his life. Similarly with Parikshit Maharaj. In life, in fact, in the birth of Parikshit Maharaj itself was abandoned actually. And he, very beginning of his life, he saw Krishna. And he continued satatam till the end of his life. And here, he is begging for blessings. He is begging blessings that I have decided now to completely dedicate my life to the lotus feet of the Lord, and I have been sitting in these banks of this Ganges, so now please, I am humbly submitting my proposal that I want to leave my body in the association of devotees, completely absorbed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And Prabhupada says that any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. Right? Just by being confirmed by authority, you get the blessings. That's all. That's the secret. Right? That makes the matter perfect. So here, we find Parikshit Maharaj is not only humble, begging for forgiveness, but is out of gratitude, praying to the great sages that I am a king. I am an attached householder with so many riches. But still you great sages have considered me, these materialistic people, who are like reject of the society considered as reject by the great sages, because they are so attached to wealth, like, which is like compared to stool in one sense, the gold we find. And Prabhupada says here, very nice statement sometimes, a cultural aspect. Compared to stool, urine, wash, water, etc., right, is what is explained, this reject. And Prabhupada just mentions, you know, attached bathrooms, urinals, etc., may be convenient amenities of modern civilization, right? But they are ordered to be situated at a distance from the residential quarters, right? Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj was considering him as a reject at this at this final departure. That humility and gratitude that the sages came. And finally, he says that you have come here not because of my greatness, but because of my connection with the Pandavas. Maintaining his humility, he is saying that this all credit belongs to the Pandavas. And such pride, Prabhupada mentions that. Prabhupada, he felt proud that he happened to be descendant of such great devotee. Such pride for the devotees of the Lord is certainly not equal to the puffed up sense of vanity for material prosperity. He was proud of being connected. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we can be proud that we have been connected to the Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Shishya Guru Shishya Parampara. And this is our pride. This is not false pride. This is a spiritual pride. And finally, when all the things are set, again the stage is set, but one actor is missing. The final, the most important clue is missing. The most important missing piece of the puzzle, of the whole climax, is that when all the great sages are confused, some are giving other opinions what Parikshit Maharaj must do, some are explaining different processes, and immediately at that time, Shukdev Goswami, the son of Srila Vyasdev, arrives. Beautifully formed limbs, perfect composure, and completely absorbed in trance of self-realization, he comes in the banks of Ganges and he assumes the seat. And Parikshit Maharaj knows, yes, this is the perfection. Because of my eagerness to receive this kind mercy of the Supreme Lord at the last stage of my life, Lord Krishna is very kind to send Srila Shukdev Goswami. And this wonderful section, this very nice purport, I just try to read and conclude. Otherwise, how, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is that you have voluntarily appeared here? Though you are moving incognito amongst the common men, and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death. Prabhupada mentions that one can achieve the ultimate success of going home back to Godhead if he is favored by the Lord sending his true representative. As soon as a true representative of the Lord is met by a devotee of the Lord, the devotee is assured a guarantee for going home back to Godhead just after leaving the present body. Prabhupada said in one class that if you follow the four elder principles and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 16 rounds, I guarantee that you will go home back to Godhead. And Prabhupada said second time, emphasizingly, I guarantee it. Exactly, Prabhupada is saying here that a devotee, as soon as the representative of the Lord is met by a devotee of the Lord, a devotee is assured, guarantee for going home back to Godhead. But this, however, right, depends upon the sincerity of the devotee himself. As soon as the Lord finds out that a particular soul, he's not telling that only Parikshit Maharaj, he's telling a particular soul, means all of us, is very eager to go back to Godhead, the Lord at once sends his bona fide representative. At once. The sincere devotee is thus assured by the Lord of going back to Godhead. The conclusion is that to get the assistance and the help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord himself. So therefore one must not feel, where is Krishna? Where is the Lord coming in terms to help me? Therefore, we have to take the shelter of the spiritual master. And we find that Srila Prabhupada also is that connection in the parampara so significant by which we are able to make this connection possible to the Supreme Lord. we are so much depending upon the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That once upon a time also one reporter came, interviewer, and he was interviewing Srila Prabhupada, and he was telling that, so now you are the leader of the Hare Krishna movement and also the spiritual master. So who will be your next leader, next successor? And Prabhupada said, that Krishna will dictate who will take my place. You don't bother. Krishna will tell me. You don't worry about, you know, who is going to be. Then he was asking many questions that, you know, actually, how is that you find that, how do you know that who is qualified? How do you depute disciples who are qualified and you are engaging them in service? Prabhupada said, I have been chosen by my spiritual master. And on the basis of order of Krishna, we are choosing qualified people. So those who are qualified to receive this transcendental knowledge, they are being given this. This is parampara. And then Prabhupada said that, he was asking a deeper question, but actually how does it happen? You know, how do you come to know? How do you depute? How do you find out? Does Krishna actually communicate with you? Is it a meditated choice? Or it is a direct communication from Krishna? So this person was thinking that actually God speaks to a man. Is it possible? Is it happening with you? Prabhupada said that, yes, actually the spiritual master is a representative of God and he gets direct order from the Supreme Lord. But how can he speak to a man? That was his concern. So Prabhupada gave a very nice analogy that when you hear the message from the radio, right, a foolish person does not know who is speaking, how this message is coming. But the person who is well versed with the science, he knows that the message is coming from the person concerned through this radio. And therefore, then Prabhupada says, find out this verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So then, he was asking some more questions. How do you think that, how do you depute disciples who are in charge of so many services here and there? Prabhupada said that, yes, Krishna gives me order and I do it. So Rameshwar Maharaj at that time said, actually, intelligence comes from Krishna, right? Therefore, all intelligence is coming from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna guides through this intelligence of this devotee, and in this way, Krishna communicates indirectly. Prabhupada stopped him. He was trying to explain, you know, how Guru is representative of God, and like his intelligence is inspired by Krishna, and then he comes to know. He's inspired by Krishna. Then he says, Prabhupada said immediately, no. Not necessarily. Krishna will tell directly. A devotee always consults Krishna and Krishna tells him, do like this. Not figuratively. Prabhupada just revealed the secret. It's not that, you know, I get the inspiration from the Paramatma within and then I speak. And Prabhupada said, this book Krishna has written, Prabhupada said to some interviewer. And this person said, Krishna, how can Krishna write books? He is not here. So, disciple is like, you know, always the interfacing medium. Prabhupada is transcendental platform. I'll be the mediator. You will not understand. So, I'll become, so he said, actually, you know, Krishna is a super soul in the heart. And, you know, he is situated in everyone's Rishwara Sarva Bhutanam. And then he speaks, you know. That's how Krishna is speaking. Prabhupada said, no. Krishna directly speaks. He has given this directly. Sometimes we feel really, this is the faith that one must have in the glory of our parampara. And Prabhupada said that if you have, some devotees said that, Prabhupada, we have so many difficulties, we have not, the spiritual master is not directly in front of us, how can we communicate and the shastras are so detailed, how to take up decisions? Prabhupada said, right? If you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely, all answers will come from within. Right? And Krishna gives the intuition. So if one sincerely follows the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, coming in this wonderful parampara, then definitely one will get the dictation of the Lord. Personally, the spiritual master, and also Krishna within the heart. Many instances. But there is a very nice statement that we read here in the concluding paragraph of the Bhagavad Gita, that a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to spiritual organization, but if still he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions. So there is still hope.
So we find some devotee is not coming and he's left and he's not in touch and he's not been regularly coming. How he'll be coming to Krishna consciousness back? That's our worry sometimes. But that's Krishna's worry. Right. And Giriraj Maharaj explains very nicely this wonderful realization about this nice statement. He said, when I used to go to this one particular temple in USA, there was one like a half crazy fellow who was always lying on the corridor, legs stretched up and just coming in time of prasadam and just laying out there in the corridor in the front of the hallway. And many devotees wanted to throw him off. His name was Peter and they called him Crazy Peter.
Right.
They also labeled him Crazy Peter. They had given a designation and they wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, that's how they took guidance. Prabhupada, this is a person who is just lying there, is coming for prasadam, is not doing anything worthwhile. People are coming, getting distracted. Maybe we should throw him off. Prabhupada said, why can't you tolerate? Just tolerate. That's all. So devotee just let him tolerate, let him be there. And this devotee, slowly, he would walk in the kitchen, he would clean the vessels, utensils sometimes, on and off. And people would, he's just crazy, he just doesn't know what happens. 6-7 years later, when Giriraj Maharaj went to near Vrindavan, and he saw this devotee standing in front, Mangalarti. And he said, hey, this crazy Peter, what is he doing here? He said, Maharaj, this is Kushakrata Das. Kushakrata Das? Who Kushakrata Das? He has translated all Bengali and Sanskrit texts of our parampara into English. He said, wow, I can't imagine. Is that the same crazy Peter? He has translated English. I mean, translated Sanskrit and Bengali into English. Who can imagine the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada? Right? Prabhupada just allowed him. Just imagine. Prabhupada is some miles away and he told him, he just heard this crazy Peter is doing like this. So just tolerate it. Why? Krishna will give him the intelligence. If he is not able to take instructions right now, no problem. Let him remain. Soon, because if he is sincere, immediately Krishna will give instructions. And therefore, we all have hope. We all have hope for ourselves and we all have hope for everyone else. Whoever in his life has once chanted Hare Krishna or even once tasted prasadam or even once heard the holy name. What to speak of someone who is trying but is not able to do his full. Therefore, Prabhupada says, again, if a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Therefore, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita has practically all meaning and relevance in our spiritual life. More to introspect on patience with constant engagement in spite of so many reversals and continuously begging for the Lord's mercy and to recognize when the mercy comes. Sometimes in forms of calamities, sometimes in forms of good fortune, but a devotee never forgets Krishna. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the essence of all the scriptures. So in this way, when one continuously applies himself with sincerity and devotion, with loving devotion, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna will definitely give us the intelligence through the bona fide spiritual master. And even if someone is not so intelligent to accept the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, then Krishna will take this case personally. This is the level which Krishna reciprocates. So the effort that we put, Krishna's reciprocation is way beyond our imagination. Therefore, never underestimate the power of the Lord's mercy. That is what Bhavananda Prabhu said. Don't underestimate the power of the Lord's mercy. Anything can happen in the sense that anything wonderful can happen within the moment. So this is so nice, wonderful, and we get all hope and light of enthusiasm, hope and wonderful loving reciprocation from the Lord. So we conclude here. So
will have kirtan because it's 3 o'clock now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.